I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Jay.
Welcome to Legends of SHIELD, a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This is show number 134, discussing the Daredevil Season 2, Episode 3, New York's Finest. The show is recorded on Saturday, July 16th, 2016. Legends of SHIELD is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of SHIELD, Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe.
Because of kicking ass down 5 flights of stairs.
If you'd like to talk to us about kicking ass down 5 flights of stairs, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com. You'll find all of our contact information there, including our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr by searching for Legends of SHIELD. You can visit our YouTube channel for the network, www.youtube.com/GunnaGeek, and that will find all of the Gunna Geek podcasts. And you can check out all the network podcasts at GunnaGeek.com.
This time on Legends of SHIELD, we're going to be talking about our Marvel's Collector Core Crate Giveaway, Women of Power. We're going to be talking about Daredevil, as I said before. We're going to be talking about the weekly Marvel news, your feedback, and highlights from the live chat room. Hey, Jay, welcome back to Legends of SHIELD.
Thank you. It is awesome being back. It's been a long time.
It has been great to have you back. I think it's been around a year. I think you were around last year for the Daredevil Season 1 watch.
Yeah, it's always fun being here.
It is. And you are no stranger to podcasting. As we talked about last year, you are the producer and main host of Gallifrey Public Radio. Haley, do you know anything about that particular podcast?
Yeah, I listen to it live every week.
That's a great way to put it. Yes, Haley talking on GPR is a few and far between. And Jay, by the way, is also a co-host of Starling Tribune, taking a little bit of hiatus as he works on real life stuff like school. I hate school. Yeah. Such a podcast killer.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so you are welcome back anytime over there. But it's great to have you here on Legends of SHIELD. In particular, since you are a Starling Tribune host, the fight scene. This is the fight scene to talk about.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. I mean, I'll be honest. That was the whole reason why I picked this episode. I was like, wait, the roster's empty. I can put it wherever I want. I know which one.
I had two other people pick episodes that they thought was the stairwell fight scene, and it wasn't. They're like, no, it's not the one. I'm like, well, Jay beat you to it. So there you go. So great to have you, and we'll get into the episode in a little bit. For now, though, we have an unboxing of our latest giveaway. Yes, this is a long time coming. Normally, we would have handled this earlier, but since I was gone for like a millennium or something like that, we're just now getting into it. Now, we're giving it away next week. And what do people have to do, Lauren, to get it?
What people need to do is people need to write in, call in, tweet in, and tell us which of the currently on-screen male Marvel characters would you gender swap into a female character, and who would you cast?
Mm-hmm. We've had some great suggestions so far, but for now, we're going to talk about the unboxing. Of course, the obligatory patch and pin are on the opening cover. And there is a little card here. This is new. This is a collector core card with
I see a squirrel girl on the back.
Yeah.
It says buy more stuff.
Yeah, exactly. There's a t-shirt. It looks like it's got...
Ooh,
it's got Spider-Gwen?
Spider-Gwen?
Spider-Gwen.
Yes, Spider-Gwen.
Mm-hmm. And a Collector Core comic, which is bagged and boarded. This is nice. New. I don't remember them being bagged and boarded before, although...
They have been the last few. The first couple, they didn't bag and board, but they have been.
The bag is not all that great. It's closed bag, too. But it, hey, it, at least it is bagged and boarded. And then in this particular one, Lauren, you're going to like this.
It's a squirrel girl.
I can't believe you saw that so quickly.
Does it have? It has tippy toe, too. There's also a little tiny squirrel in there.
Yes, there is. So that
it's tippy toe.
I don't know if the actual, this is my crate, and I don't know if the actual crate, which is donated to the podcast, I don't know if it has the same stuff inside, because some of them are different, but I haven't looked
for
this.
Yeah, sometimes they've got variants on stuff.
And then
She-Hulk.
Yep, little She-Hulk. They used to have Dorbs, but this is a mystery mini. And then there's one other mystery mini, which is all mine. It's mine.
Oh, it's Carol. It's Captain Marvel.
Yes.
So nice. That's
an example of what you could win if...
Y'all, I am so jealous.
You enter into the Marvel Collector Core Crate giveaway, and I'm glad that I bought this one for myself.
I moved right after mine shipped, so it went to the old address and then is being forwarded to the new address, so I don't know when I'll get it. So sad.
Did it go via Canada Post, too, on the way back?
Who knows? By carrier pigeon.
Right. And there's enough time to get it to you, because they're not under a deadline. But yes, you can get that information to us by Wednesday, July 20th, 2016, and you can be entered into the contest. Okay, you all ready to get into the episode?
Absolutely.
Ready. Do it.
You know, doing this part of the podcast has made me consciously look at the credits at the beginning of every show that I watch. So this is actually getting pretty cool. But this particular episode, it's New York's Finest, the third episode of the second season of Daredevil on Netflix, was directed by Mark Jobst, who has a total of 24 directing credits. Now, it's not anything like geeky related, at least not that I saw, but he is directing an episode of Luke Cage coming up as well. And I can only imagine it's got to be a big fight scene choreography sort of thing after this one. So that'll be awesome. I don't know which one, didn't tell me which one, but he is doing an episode of Luke Cage. And it was also written by Mark Verheiden, who has a total of 20 writing credits. Very experienced in the geekdom. Let's see. He's got 9 Time Cop episodes that he wrote, 9 Smallvilles. He did 9 Battlestar Galactica episodes. So we all are very familiar with his work. 4 episodes of Heroes, which I didn't take a look at which season, but if it's season 1, good. After that, maybe it was just work for the guy. I don't know. 1 episode of Caprica, very hard writing credit to get. 4 episodes of Falling Skies, popcorn summer show, liked it very much. You didn't have a lot of work to work with there, but I liked it. I'm sad to see it go, but it was time to go. And 2 episodes of Constantine, which I know a lot of people really want Constantine back, so that's pretty good. And then 2 episodes of Daredevil, the other one being 380. Well, by the way, why does he have so many great writing credits? He's also a producer. So he produced Time Cop, Smallville, Battlestar Galactica, Heroes, Falling Skies, Constantine, and Daredevil. So the man knows where it's at. All right, for this particular episode, New York Finest. Anybody got a clue what the title means in this one?
Haven't the foggiest. No.
Well, typically that refers to the New York Police Force, the New York Police Department. Whenever you hear somebody refer to New York's Finest, that's, I watch a lot of TV, so.
I know, but there wasn't a lot of police presence in this particular episode, so I'm.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't get it. Am I the only one? Or, I mean, Jay, you said you don't get it.
No, so. Maybe it's because I was also watching this while I was trying to turn in a writing assignment, but I also didn't get that either. I'm wondering if it could be because you have Daredevil who's trying to, you know, hold himself to a higher standard.
Oh, could be.
Than
You're from New York.
Maybe?
Very few people are from New York. Mm. Yeah, it could be. It could be. But it is a very far stretch as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and that's the thing is when you hear it, you automatically think the New York Police Department. So it seems like it could have fit better somewhere else, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think what it probably is the more I think about it, the more it's probably just comparing both of their methods, because the one guy is just excellent at killing and the other guy is trying his best to be better than that.
They're the best at what they do.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Yeah. And then you have, again, in the background, you have Karen and Foggy trying to do their thing.
Yes.
And then it's all about the morals and everything.
Foggy really came to, we'll get to that in a little bit. So yeah, that was cool. At the beginning, is this the first time that we've seen the nuns and the flashbacks?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's the first time in the TV show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, you know, we discussed in a past episode that in the comics, at least, Matt's mom is a nun. So did we just get our first glimpse at his mother?
I think when we talked about the movie, we talked about that, because wasn't there a similar scene in the movie?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Have to go back and watch it.
My brain is fuzzy. It's very early.
It is, yeah. And it's earlier for you because you're in a weird time zone now.
Yep.
Is it Pacific or Mountain?
It's Arizona time, which is Pacific is for half the year and Mountain for the other half because we don't observe daylight savings time.
Oh, I see. So you're like Indiana and you don't change. You're just the same all year round.
Yeah. Okay. Which if the entire country would do it, would be fantastic.
I think we're eventually headed that way, but we'll see.
Yeah, but I've been hearing that for years.
Yeah.
It's like, until I get to sleep in on Sunday, stop talking about it.
Okay. So we have to talk about, we're going to run into it at the beginning here. We're just going to fall down the stairs into a big pile of fight. And this is the big fight of the entire series, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there's great stuff that happens later on, but this is the iconic, like the hallway scene in the first season. The second season, this is it. And I didn't realize it ran basically from the rooftop down to the basement. I mean, it was just one long fight scene.
I would argue there's two big fight scenes, but this is the big Daredevil fight scene.
Fair enough. Yeah. So it starts on the rooftop. They're fighting over Grotto. They're fighting after Grotto. Then they fight in, at least Daredevil fights the dogs of hell in the hallway and then down the stairwell. And of course, the Punisher gets away at the end. Which, do we see that at the end of this one? I looked away for a second. Do we see that he's no longer in the elevator?
No, I think that part of the scene, it just ends with Matt finishing the fight. I don't think you see the elevator again.
Spoiler! Sorry. That's how it ends. But amazing stuff. Amazing choreography. I did notice a couple of breaks in it. It wasn't one long thing, but I did notice the time code of start and stop. It started around 10 minutes left in the episode and it stopped with about 3 minutes left in the episode.
Yeah, so I mean, that would be hard to keep that up in one take. But yeah, the way that it was cut made it very fluid. It took me, like, I literally had to go back two or three times and be like, okay, wait a minute. Was that all one? And then I'd get caught up in the action again. I'm like, shoot, I didn't look for any cuts. And so it worked really well.
Again, I'll have to go back to my college boxing experience. We did three rounds, 1 minute apiece. And after 1 minute of fighting, was exhausted. And this is during my physical prime or whatever, 1 minute of fighting. And this was like 5 minutes long. I can't imagine. It was just incredible.
There's a YouTube channel called Every Frame a Picture that I'd highly recommend for anybody who really wants to learn more about how to watch for nuance in movies. And there's this one particular episode about Jackie Chan and what makes his fight scene so special. And one of the things that they emphasize is that in his movies and in a lot of Hong Kong movies, you see the stunt all the way through. And the reason for that is because he's a perfectionist and he'll do something hundreds of times until he gets it looking just right. And in the US, you can't do that because of budget reasons, because you can't stay there and do the same scene over and over and over and over. So when you have a scene like the hallway fight or some of the longer stretches of this fight, it just goes to show how extremely tightly choreographed it has to be, because this is a Netflix series and it doesn't have a huge budget. So you have to have people on their mark, just And that impresses me. That impresses me a lot. Especially because, you know, you have the hallway fight in season one, and then they're like, okay, that was great. Let's move it in another dimension and move it downwards too.
I wonder how many actual injuries occurred, because if it's one shot all the way through, sometimes you can't pull your punch, or you forget to pull your punch or whatever, and you end up hurting somebody for real. Just like in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., when Daisy did her one shot scene at the end of season two, I believe, when she went all commando. Mm-hmm. And she
broke her wrist
during it. Yeah. So I wonder how many.
I would imagine there are more. Well, because when you've just got one move to do, you're concentrating on that one move. When you know you've got another one coming up, you're already thinking about the next move and you're not focused on what you're doing right now. So, yeah, I'm sure more people get hurt.
When it's with actual trained stunt people, because this is what they do, there's actually a lot fewer injuries than when you have an actor who, it's not their job. Their job is to act. So I'm wondering if there were any injuries, who was injured and who they were injured by. Because, like, you had Haley Atwell punching people by accident.
I was just going to bring that up. You even had Haley Atwell.
Accident, sure.
Oops. Did it again.
So you hear all the time about actors that don't do their own stunts. It's not just because they're worried about the actor getting hurt.
Yeah, it's liability. It's not only liability for them, it's liability for the stunt people who could get hurt because of somebody who doesn't know what they're doing.
Or you could be like Harrison Ford and just trip over a door and end up breaking your leg.
Well, to be fair, what apparently happened was the hydraulic thing just kind of went haywire and actually went down and crushed his leg.
Okay. I didn't read that, but that's cool to know.
Yeah. If you actually hear the discussion of what happened, apparently he was very calm and J.J. Abrams was freaking out. And Harrison was like, can you please just calm down and lift up the door? Thank you.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, the man landed a freaking World War II plane in the middle of a golf course after an engine out in the middle of the city. So, yeah.
He's been in like 3 plane crashes. I mean, getting his leg crushed by a door has to be nothing at that point.
The dude is a national hero. He really is.
He is.
So, okay, everybody. The stairwell fight scene this season or hallway fight season last scene? Which is better for you, Jay?
Man, ask me to pick one of my favorite kids. I would have to go with the hallway fight scene from last season.
Really? Why?
Just because it was a new thing. That's not something that we had seen before. It was shocking the way that it was done. And this one, it was like, okay, no, this is awesome because it's taking that and turning it up to 11, but it wasn't, there were new elements, but it wasn't completely new. So as awesome as this was and as much fun as I had with it, it still doesn't live up to the excitement that came with the first one.
Mm-hmm. Haley?
I've seen this one more recently, so it's standing out in my mind. I don't know. I haven't seen the other one recently enough. It's hard to say. I like this one a lot. I know that because I just watched it. So my answer is I don't know.
Lauren?
I'm trying to weigh them. Technically, I liked this one better. It's better lit. It's, I think, a bit technically, I mean, just for the fact that it's, I'd have to double check. I think it's a little bit longer. And the fact that it's better lit just scores a lot of points with me. You can see more of what's going on. But the hallway scene was a bit more emotional. Like, you got more emotion out of that fight scene, and that scores a lot of points with me. So I'm willing to overlook a lot of the very dark lighting in favor of that.
I'll go hallway scene just by the factor that I know it was just one cut. There wasn't any stops in it. It was just one long scene. And I'll go with that. But both are great. And like Jay said, ask me to pick from one of my kids. Although this week, I have one
middle
kid.
One, definitely
that I,
the middle one.
You have the favorite kid this week.
I mean,
you definitely
choose.
Have a favorite
couldn't
kid.
I have
choose.
A non-favorite kid this week. Let's just put it that way.
I know which one.
We won't disclose officially on the podcast. We'll let everybody guess.
You have one kid left that hasn't destroyed a car, right?
It's just because she's not driving yet.
That is incorrect, actually. That kid has destroyed a vehicle.
Let's say recently.
Wait, I thought one of them wasn't old enough to drive yet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, kids don't have to drive.
That doesn't technically count.
Oh, yes, this one does.
I've had experience with family members who were underage and still destroyed a car.
This one definitely does, although I was a little bit culpable in the whole incident as well. We'll get to that later. Let's just keep on talking about Daredevil. Matt Murdock starts this episode off on the rooftop in chains. Very well done, by the way, with the visions and then waking up on his back, but he's really tied chained to the post or column or whatever it was. I think
it's like a chimney.
Yeah, whatever it
was. I don't know. Do they have chimneys in New York?
Yeah, there's wood burning fireplaces in New York. Yeah.
Okay.
Although I think a lot of them get blocked off for a while because chimney sweeping that stuff and fire hazards and whatever. A little bit difficult.
I liked how that was a great way to start it because it was very disorienting. Like you didn't really understand what was going on for a long time. And it really helped to put you in Daredevil's shoes of like, okay, waking up, what's going on? Not quite sure. It was just a great way of conveying that feeling.
Also, that pose brought you back to the promo picture that was very much in the vein of the Saint Sebastian paintings. So he wakes up there, starts screaming, and you're like, oh, hey, this is familiar.
Yeah, we talked last time we did an episode on Daredevil about the concussions and the fact that he's recovering and whatever. The dude's been hit over the head quite a bit, and he has recently been shot. The mask still has been welded together. So the Punisher knows that he has been red, as he calls him, has been really beaten up or whatever. And I think there's more than a little bit of professional courtesy going on there. I think there's admiration between the two. There's a philosophical difference, but I think as far as ability, I think there's mutual admiration almost. But so he's got him in chains. And do you think he had the whole plan about Grotto from the beginning? Because that seemed like an interim development.
Who, you mean the Punisher?
Yes. Do you think the Punisher had the plan to bring Grotto in was something that the Punisher had in mind from the beginning?
I think he's had him probably since right after he made that phone call to Karen.
Yeah.
And the conversation just evolved into it. And he was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Jay, you were going to say something?
Yeah. I was going to say, I can see it being something that he would plan out that way. And then it was just, He wanted to find out as much as he could about Daredevil. He wanted to have that conversation, and then it just naturally went that way. And he was like, well, honestly, I think it was one of those things. He's like, I've got this guy over here. If it comes up, great. I'll use it. If not, we'll see where it goes. He's got enough foresight to plan ahead like that, but he's not so set in his ways that he would force it. Mm.
So the whole thing with the superintendent, that was interesting. Matt Ass, plain out, straightforward ass, don't hurt him. And do you think the Punisher would have hurt him had Matt not asked? Or do you think he thought it was just extra complication that he just didn't want to go through and that he was going through this just to make everything easier on himself to end with?
See, I don't know. On the one hand, okay, so this is going to be kind of a sensitive thing to bring up. But I was just listening to a discussion about Christopher Dorner, the guy who back in 2013 went on a rampage and murdered a lot of police officers because he had been fired. And in his manifesto, he wrote that this was only against the police officers and that he didn't want to kill civilians. And in fact, he did not kill a bunch of the civilians that he had taken hostage. And I can't help but see a lot of parallels with the Punisher. Like the way that they wrote him here. So on the one hand, I don't know if he would have killed this guy who had nothing to do with the situation. And on the other hand, they really don't present the Punisher as the most stable person. So, but the thing is, he's not a bad guy. So would he have killed this guy who was a complication? Or would he have just, you know, knocked him out, taken him hostage, whatever, tied him up until he was gone? The fact that we are questioning this makes it really clear how unstable Frank Castle is compared to Daredevil, who we know would clearly never do that. Mm. And I think that shows the really clear divide between them.
Well, and Matt brought up that you shot up a hospital and he said nobody innocent got hurt. But when he was shooting up that hospital, he was not concerned about collateral damage. He was blasting his shotgun off all over the place. Like, if he'd hit a doctor or a patient, he wouldn't have slowed down. So I think if this guy had really gotten in his way, he wouldn't have had a problem taking him out.
The one thing that makes me really question it is the fact that when he was in the hospital, didn't he have a mask on?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so people could identify him. And as we know, the police or the DA or whatever knows his name is Frank Castle. So
I don't think he's concerned about being identified.
Okay.
No, okay, yeah, he's on a mission, but it's kind of a suicide mission at this point.
Well, I don't know. Well, maybe a little bit. I mean, he's skilled enough that he
thinks... once he gets this done, I don't think he cares what happens to him anymore.
True.
That's how I see it at this point in time in the story.
Now, Matt is trying to reason with him. They're trying to feel each other out. They're trying to figure out where each other is coming from. It was really interesting that the Punisher even allowed this to go through, other than maybe he was trying to sway Red over to his side and say, hey, look, I know you have a problem finishing. Let's get through that and let's do this together sort of thing, because maybe I can't do it alone. You've done this before and you came through with it. So maybe there's a little of that going on in Frank's mind too. I don't. But it's all very interesting. Jay, what do you think?
I think that, I mean, this was kind of his chance to let somebody know what he was doing. He felt completely and totally justified, and he figured if he could reason with somebody, then it would help to ease the cause. Because, let's face it, at this point, Daredevil's the only person who stood any kind of chance of stopping him. So instead of trying to just take him out, because, let's face it, Frank knows that they're on the same side. Their methods are just different. So instead of taking him out, get him on your side, you know, get him to help you out, or at least step back and let him do his job. So he didn't want to have to take him out, but he didn't want to have to be facing him every time he went out the front door. So sit down, talk with the guy, explain your situation, because clearly I'm in the right here. It makes sense. At least if you've got a hole in your head.
As we see at the end, that was awesome. I think that was the iconic Punisher look at the skull. And with the bullet hole in it. I'm not a aficionado of the comics like you guys are, but that seems to be like, that is the Punisher, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the iconic.
And then when he, I guess, uses that skull later. But what I really loved in this episode was just all the back and forth between them. You have Matt, who's arguing like, you're better than this. You don't have to kill somebody every time. And you have Frank, who's, okay, Matt's the idealist. And then you have Frank, who's the pragmatist, and who's like, if you let these people live, they're just going to come back and do this all over again. And yeah, they're both trying to talk each other into their point of view. And it's kind of oddly beautiful watching these two try to bring each other around, and they're never going to agree with the other.
At the beginning of this season, if you're not into the comics, like myself, I wasn't really into the comics before this happened, so I really didn't have a background into the Punisher. I probably should have brushed up on the Punisher before this. I didn't know if they were setting this up as the Punisher was the big bad for the season. And spoilers, it really doesn't work out that way, but the Punisher is the character that's, I don't know, chaotic, neutral, maybe, or not really sure what to call him that, but he's not the big bad for the season. At this part, if you don't have that background, you're thinking that this is a big tete-a-tete with the big evil for the season and Daredevil. And from that perspective, it really works well. It's almost something that should be at the end of the season, but because of the way that it laid it out, it worked well as it was right there. Now, Daredevil wasn't the only one working kung fu magic this episode. You also had Foggy, who came through pretty big, even though he was a little bit impotent at the start, where nothing was going to help him with Reyes. But in the end, in the ER, he really came through, really liked where Foggy was this episode.
And we see Claire again.
Is that your favorite part of the episode, Lauren?
A little bit.
And she throws in some references to Luke Cage and Jessica Jones.
Yes,
she does. Like, that is the reason why I've got this shift from hell, helping out somebody else that's like our mutual friend. But the one thing that happened, they're actually working over a patient and she actually uses Matt's name. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, she, the whole time she'd been saying our mutual friend, and then she slips and says Matt. I don't know if,
but that was gonna... they never said that they were talking about Daredevil, though. So it, as far as this patient knows, they're talking about their mutual friend, and then, oh, okay, I guess his name's Matt. Whatever, can you get back to fixing me now?
Yeah, And then as we see, things get chaotic very quickly. So, I mean, just one name might never come up again, because you kind of forget things real quick when, you know, a guy wrenches the hospital bed, you know, that he's handcuffed to apart and starts trying to stab another guy with a scalpel.
No, is that going on? I guess it must be Tuesday.
No, it's Netflix. It could be any day of the week.
Yeah. So one of the shows that I like watching is Untold Stories of the ER. And every now and then they will have a story like that where people try to start fights in the ER. Yeah, please don't try to start fights in the ER. People are trying to get better.
No, it's a brilliant place. I mean, if you, you know, you start a fight, you get hurt. Look at that. You're already there. It works out well.
I know.
That's planning.
Foggy does- yeah, those ambulance trips are expensive.
That is true. That is true.
Foggy does a great job diffusing the situation. It's not like he was scared like he was when he went into the Dogs of Hell last episode. He was on point. He was just straightforward. He's like, look, you know, and really, he's trying to find Matt. He's like, just shut up, sit down, go to your corners. I need Claire to help me find Matt or see if Matt's in the ER somewhere in the city or something like that. So maybe that's what did it. Maybe it was experience. Maybe it's adrenaline. Maybe a lot of different things.
I feel
like
it was probably adrenaline.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got some stone cold cojones to begin with, so that didn't hurt. And what did Claire call him? A bigger thug. He's thugging it out, right?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And you also have Karen just being so frustrated with everything that's going on because, you know, she made this promise to Grotto that he'd be safe and, yeah, the DA screwed him over and everything seems to be falling apart. So we're going to see that play out again later.
She's got a great ability to confront people that she's able to get information out of. She's a great manipulator, great confronter on her own right. But unlike Foggy, I don't think she has it in her to do it at the level that she did it on the spot. She went in pre-planning everything that she had to say, and she took care of it that way. But that's just how I thought of it. Still, great part of the episode, even though she's not featured in a main story, it is a main story all along to get her to the point where she gets information about Frank Castle and then develops a rapport with the assistant DA as well. What's his name? I can't remember his name. I know he comes up later.
Temple or Tower?
I can't remember.
Henchman.
DA Henchman number one. That's funny. Well, Punisher ends up strapping a gun to Daredevil, which is, by the way, it's a good weapon to use if you're out of bullets and you've got a gun taped to your hand. First of all, you're not going to wreck your hand necessarily because it's taped up and it's got a strong thing in the middle of it. Second of all, it's a metal object. So a lot of the punches
still hurts to get hit with.
Yeah. As long as the punches he was throwing, he was actually punching with the barrel out. I was like, ooh, that's going to poke an eye
out. Yeah. It's like brass knuckles. It's like mega only brass
way
knuckles.
Bigger.
Yes.
So he uses it to an advantage. He has to, as well as the chain and everything else he can get a hold of. So that's great. So the Punisher blows up the Dogs of Hell. Now, this is a two-part thing. He's doing it to distract Daredevil in his escape to try to get away himself. He's got this planned out. That is his plan to do that. But also, he's doing it to get back at the Dogs of Hell because they're no saint of an organization, as we know.
They're not fine, upstanding citizens.
They're not New York's finest.
No.
Although we find out that Grotto himself had a secret, which the Punisher knew about, that did not justify him to continue his existence. And the whole fact that Karen was trying to save him and bring him back to the DA to get his witness protection deal, we find out that's probably for the best.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole time, they keep reminding you that this guy's a lowlife and he's, you know, this thug or whatever. He's a criminal and everything like that. And you're like, yeah, but they're helping him. So it's okay. He's going to be okay. And then you learn that and it's like, oh, right. Maybe it's a good idea he was targeted.
Right.
Yeah. And that brings in, you know, the doubt about, well, maybe Frank Castle's not wrong. And that really, I love the whole thing going forward through this season about Daredevil's methods versus Frank's methods and who's right, who's wrong.
Well, because this confirms he's at least right about the people he's talking about. They are terrible people. And then you've got to decide, okay, are his actions justified in that situation?
Yeah.
And deep down, we all love a little street justice.
But the thing is, how much street justice before we are the bad guys?
Yeah, where do you draw that line?
Exactly. And this is why people may make fun of comic book stuff, but no, it's actually a really good look at this sort of thing. It's just kind of, you know, a hyper-reality look at it. Yay!
That's right. So, just going back, we talked about the end of the episode, which was Daredevil finishing the fight. We talked about Karen with the iconic picture. The other end to this episode that I would like to point out, it really was at the middle of the episode. It was Claire when she walked out of the room with her back to the room and she waved goodbye. It's not the last time we'll see her in this season, but you don't know that at this point in time. So, especially with her troubles that she's had, lost her lease. We learned that in Jessica Jones, and then she was shifted on her shift in this particular time. So, you know, her work record is not exactly exemplar, but she's good at what she does. So that is cool there. You guys have anything else you want to talk about on this episode other than it was just really cool?
Nope, I think that's it.
Jay, you picked it. Anything else?
It's a great character story up until the last 10 minutes of the episode, just a look at the characters and their motivations and things like that. And I always love that kind of thing. And then you get rewarded for sitting through all of the dialogue and everything with just 10 minutes of complete ass kicking fun.
And then we get the X-ray of Frank's head at the very end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is the Punisher symbol.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, and I was telling Haley right before we started recording this, like, I'm kind of rewatching the fight scene just because why not? And like, I was like, I really don't know which one I like better, either this stairway fight scene or the one from Civil War.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It's a lot of similarities between them, but they're so completely different, it's kind of hard to compare the two aside from the fact stairway.
I wonder which fight scene that they will try to mirror next. So, Kaylee, I see you have your new notebook in front of you. Then for the new listener and viewer to the podcast, this is the notebook of quotes that Haley keeps of all her episodes. And this is the second or third? I think it's the second,
this is
right?
The second.
So she just finished a notebook before she moved to state. So, Haley, you got to be careful. When you get to the end of this one, you might have to move to a different state.
That's how it works.
So what kind of quotes you got from this episode?
All right. Don't give a beep about who you are.
That's right. Why didn't you remove my mask? Because I don't give a beep who you are. Yeah, that was interesting from the Punisher's perspective.
Was it someone you loved? Well, boo-hoo.
Ooh. Kind of see how that turns out later.
You hit them and they get back up. I hit them and they stay down.
The philosophy difference between the Punisher and Red. Yep.
Loved that one.
You got face tattoos, friend. That's like telegraphing, I know what prison meatloaf tastes like.
Foggy also had another one in the middle of there, too. He was just rolling on that dialogue.
Foggy was on a roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a hunch you got more mugshots than baby pictures back home.
That's the other one.
And then, click, hee hee.
Yeah, that's right.
That was great.
I was surprised that he even tried it. Well, why did he even try it?
He knew it was empty.
I think he just wanted to double check before he started.
Oh, that's true. Just in case it went off by accident, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it may have been he was aiming elsewhere, but I'm fairly certain he knew because the way he giggled about it, it was just like, yeah, you got scared for a second, didn't you?
Awesome. Great episode. Can't wait for the next episode, which is episode 4 in the series, and it is titled Penny and Dime, which a lot of people are very interested in as well. We learn a lot about the Punisher next. We can't wait for that. All right, you guys ready to get into some news?
Yep.
All right, the next big Marvel extravaganza next year after Doctor Strange is Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I've actually been in tune with Mr. James and looking at all of his information that he's put out over it over the course of the last few months that they started shooting and everything. And he's actually got a lot of philosophical stuff, too. So if you're interested, go check out James Gunn's on social media. He posts really interesting stuff in addition to this sort of stuff, right, Lauren?
Yes. He just released on the 15th some concept art that has two notable things that I'm excited about. One is little bitty Groot looks like a Pop Funko on Drax's shoulder.
Yes.
And the other one that has me incredibly excited is our first look at Granite and concept art of Mantis, who is one of my favorite characters from the comics. And I'm excited, y'all. In this picture, she's between Star-Lord and Nebula. And then there's Rocket kind of flying around and Yondu's in the background like, woo! And it's pretty great.
I'm also excited because it looks like Nebula is on the same side as the Guardians, just based on this concept art.
That would be amazing.
I want to see a series with Yondu and Punisher. A little Walking Dead reunion. That would be awesome.
That would be pretty great. They just run around shooting things.
Yeah, exactly. Or whistling or whatever. And Yondu keeps his hand this time, which is pretty cool there. So moving on into some X-Men TV news. I saw this and was like, okay, but well, let's tell everybody what we're talking about, Lauren.
Okay, so we've talked in the past about some of the X-Men TV shows that Fox has been working on, including Legion and Hellfire. Let's backtrack a little on that because Hellfire is no longer in production. Instead, the network is putting forward a pilot commitment for a new X-Men action adventure series. So far, it doesn't have a title. It will focus on two ordinary parents who discover their children possess mutant powers, and they will have to join up with an underground network of mutants. So we'll see what that's all about.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I'm not super excited about this. I think there's a lot of missteps going on. But the interesting part in this was that Jeff Loeb from Marvel TV development is actually involved in the development here. So I think there's more and more collaboration between Marvel Studios and ABC and Fox, which is very interesting to note.
Yeah, I was actually kind of looking forward to Hellfire because I was hoping we'd get like an actual really good depiction of Emma Frost. Mm-hmm. So once again, my hopes are dashed.
Just go back and watch Wolverine and the X-Men again.
Yeah, that's true. She's pretty great in that.
Or Astonishing X-Men.
Yep. Talking about the comics, we have a spoiler, which we're going to talk about if you're into the comics and you haven't picked this up yet. There is a Civil War II spoiler, so we're going to be talking about it for the next couple of minutes. Fast forward if you don't want to hear about it. But Lauren, what do we got?
So it's from the latest issue of Civil War II. So this was the one that was out Wednesday, the 13th? 13th. Yep. And a character was killed. There was a preview for it a couple days before, and it was a picture from the Avengers movie. And it was like, one of these characters will die, but who? So do we want to say who it was?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Okay. Again, spoiler noticed. If you don't want to know, fast forward a couple, maybe 30 seconds. It was Bruce Banner. Hawkeye killed him. Yeah. Eh.
So it was a spoiler as who killed who and then who was killed. And I didn't even think this was possible, especially after Bruce said that in the MCU that he put a bullet in his mouth, but the big guy spit it back out. So I didn't even know this was possible.
Yeah, there were three characters that I thought it would be, and he was one of them. It's of course he'll be back.
Right.
He'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Mark Ruffalo signed him up, but just this huge deal. I think it was like 11 or 15 movies or something like that. And they've used some of his appearances up already, but he is on contract to do a lot more movies. So as Lauren said, he'll be back, but maybe they just needed to get him out of the way for a little bit. I have no idea. No idea.
The thing with comics nowadays that I really don't like is the big two, especially, and Marvel has been really guilty of it lately, is that character deaths are written as shocking instead of for actual story purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, we know the characters are going to be coming back eventually, death is cheap, and it's just makes me angry that they're like, oh, this character is going to die, ooh, and it's just...
I have enjoyed delving into the independents recently. In the last few months, going into the comic book store, I take a long time to look through all the independents because they don't have a regular stack. There's not like an Image, an IDW, whatever. It's just all in one big thing. And they don't come out as a regular basis as like a Marvel or a DC series might. So you really got to look into it and find out whatever. So it's going to take me a while. The couple that I've picked up are interesting, and I'll tell a little bit more about everybody in a future podcast. But Jay, are there any independents that you are a fan of, or are you just like Marvel boy through and through?
I've grown up on Marvel, but I realize it's almost cliche to say at this point, but I mean, Saga.
Right.
You can't go wrong with Saga.
For some reason, I just don't consider Saga an independent at this point. It's a staple. It's on my poll list. I get it every week, so that's pretty cool.
A staple drawn by Fiona Staples.
Oh, there you go. You picked up on it. That's cool. Haley, do you have any independents, or are you still working from Marvel Comics back in 1972?
Actually, the independent stuff is the only current stuff I'm reading. So Saga and Rat Queens and The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Walking Dead is independent, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All good stuff.
All stuff from Image Comics.
Yeah. That. Wicked and Divine, y'all. Check out The Wicked and the Divine.
Okay.
Fantastic.
I think I've mentioned it before, but I really like the way Image Comics does their digital comic sales. Instead of locking you into their app, they just sell you the file and you can do what you want with it. So you can get a PDF or CBZ or whatever file format you want, and it's your file, which I appreciate.
Yeah, and Lauren, you interviewed, what's his name, from Image, right?
Matt Hawkins from Top Cow.
Top Cow, which is a part
Who Top Cow has done some really, really amazing comics, and I actually picked up Think Tank from him while I was at Comic Palooza.
Oh, awesome. Did he autograph it?
Yeah. Yes.
That's awesome.
So seriously, check out Top Cow. They have a really good staple of artists and writers.
Yep. A lot of great independent stuff. But we are talking Marvel series. So let's get back to Jessica Jones and the fact that she's coming back to the comics.
Yeah. So I'm so happy about this. So the last solo comic she had was The Pulse, which was kind of the PG-13 sequel to Alias, and it was back in the early mid 2000s. And now, because of the series, because of, I guess, the way they've arranged the story, she's going to have her own ongoing series again. And it's again going to be from Brian Michael Bendis, who created her and wrote her series, and Michael Gatos, who was the original artist for Alias back in 2001. And she's going to be back in October.
Yeah.
I believe October. I'm so excited for this. I'm just incredibly excited. They have a look at the cover by David Mack on Comic Book Resources. And you can see both the influence of, you know, the original comic and the series in that she's wearing a big scarf like she does on the show.
Nice.
Yes. I'm so happy.
I was a little bit disappointed. I mean, I really liked the gimmick of how they brought back Hellcat to the comics earlier last year. And I did pick up the series. Disappointed in it. It really was a lot younger than a lot more basic than I wanted to go. But I'm not sure if they even completed the run. I don't know if it's still ongoing or not. I stopped picking it up. So I'm really looking forward to a Jessica Jones comic, maybe that brings in her circle like Hellcat, and really pumps it up a little bit, and just really looking forward to that. So that is cool. Okay, back to the comics again. We have a change, which we talked about a little, you gals talked a little bit about last week, but Iron Man has a couple of changes, and the second one is, I actually think, is pretty big.
Okay, so in recent months, Dr. Doom is no longer, you know, the mask-wearing guy. Now he looks a little bit like Vincent Cassell. And he is now going to be Marvel's infamous Iron Man, written by Brian Michael Bendis, who's writing, you know, kind of like every third comic lately, but that's okay. I like his writing. And drawn by Alex Maleev, who's a pretty good artist. So we'll see what goes on. Is he going to be a good guy? Is he going to be a bad guy?
I don't know.
I mean, the whole thing is that the infamous Iron Man number one solicitation text does note that Tony Stark failed, but it could just be Doom gloating. He does that.
Yeah, we'll see. Really enjoyed both the International Iron Man and the, what's the other one? It's another Iron Man series that have been out lately. They've been really good and centered on Tony Stark, of course, but it'll be interesting where this takes us. And with Robert Downey Jr. getting older, I mean, eventually he's going to have to stop making the movies. So they, I think this transition is in preparation for that. So it'll be interesting to see where they go. And then Death of X is interesting.
Yes. So currently in the X-Men comics, the X-Men have all kind of been sterilized by the Terrigen Mist. There's a lot of friction between them and the Inhumans. There's two versions of Cyclops. There's the younger version of him from the past. There's the future. Well, there's the current version of him who's pretty much a terrorist and who has not been seen for several months in the comics because everyone's like, oh, he's dead. He's dead. And nobody's seen Emma Frost either. So we're going to have an upcoming arc called Death of X. And it's going to be kind of a look back at what happened. What happened to Cyclops? How did he die? It's going to be a 4-issue miniseries in October. It's going to be written by Jeff Lemire, who is great. Charles Soule, who's been writing Inhuman. And Aaron Cooter is going to be drawing the series. His art's pretty good. And yeah, we'll see. I feel like, you know, the whole Inhuman X-Men thing is really driven a lot by the fact that Marvel can't use the X-Men in their movies.
Right.
So they're kind of pushing the Inhumans instead.
Right. Well, I saw something that they did a preview of the fall comics and the mutants are no longer part of that they are focusing mostly on the Inhumans. So I think that there's a move afoot in Marvel to completely cut out mutants from comics.
Yep. Pretty much no new mutants. Mm. All their popular ones are getting moved to other titles pretty much.
Yeah. Which makes me sad.
Yeah.
When marketing makes the decisions like this, it's frustrating for me as a reader.
I know. It won't last forever, but I think it's a bargaining chip with Fox right now. That's the only thing I can think of. Just like they did with Fantastic Four, it's got to be for it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's even bargaining so much as fighting.
Fighting between the two houses? Like Fox.
Well, because there's nothing I think that's going to happen that's going to get Fox to be like, oh, yeah, sure, you can have these properties back.
Well, X-Men Apocalypse, I don't think did as well in the box office as they thought it was going to. And I was looking.
Still made them money.
It did, but less than Days of Future Past. But yes, it was, I believe, their second or third highest X-Men, highest X-Men movie ever that they've made. And so that is true, but it is in a downward trend from Days of Future Past. So we'll see how it progresses. If you take a look at Fantastic Four.
It totally tanked, and that still wasn't enough to get them to negotiate on anything to sell the rights or something.
I heard that they were in negotiations, but that nothing had really come out so far. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. All right. Let's move on to some feedback. All right. In the past week or so, we've gotten some feedback from a lot of our listeners. Thank you very much. Mr. Paracletes tweeted us, as he usually does a couple times a week, and he said, hey, I found this on Facebook, and it's a picture of a cat with a Iron Man helmet made out of, I don't know what that is.
A lemon.
A lemon.
When life gives you lemons, learn to make an Iron Man helmet for your cat. It's adorable, but it makes me a little sad because cats don't like the smell of citrus.
Aww.
Right.
This cat hates being Iron Man.
The eyes are definitely...
It's still cute.
Yeah. So what would the AI be named in a cat Iron Man suit?
I don't know, but you use your mouse to control it.
There you go. All right. Mr. Pericles also tweeted us the news about Civil War 2, so thank you very much about that. At Born to Eat Bacon, another frequent listener and contributor to the show, said, hey, he's a little feedback on last episode, which I have a lot to say about this, as you two referenced before. We won't get into that right now, but at Born to Eat Bacon said, discussing the difference in weight on the space mission is just silly. Animations are two-dimensional and weightless. So there you go.
Which reminds me, at some point, we need to get your opinion on this. So,
all right, we'll back up into
you
that.
You need to go back and watch that episode and let us know how wrong they are.
When I start to get caught up, I'll definitely do that.
We forgot to even bring up the fact that they had artificial gravity on there and didn't discuss it at all.
Yeah.
I thought you did. Maybe not. I don't know.
Nope. No. Nope. No, we were busy talking about the weight of the ship.
Incredible yes. podcast. If you want to go back one podcast, it's Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 133. And these two do a great job talking about some X-Men.
The Phoenix Saga.
Yep. The X-Men, the animated series from the 1990s.
Because when left to our own devices, Lauren and I go to cartoons.
Yes.
It was a fun episode to listen to.
We are totally adults.
Yep. So at Bordini, Bacon also said, Space Pirates made me think of the movie Ice Pirates, which was probably before you were born.
It came out the year I was born, and I saw it on USA Up All Night.
It's definitely an interesting movie.
It really is.
At Andy Migna tweeted us, and he said, how it should have ended. It was the
Civil War, yeah. how it should have ended. And I've seen it, and it's quite good. And y'all should go watch all the Marvel How It Should Have Ended, because it's pretty fantastic.
It is.
Just watch all of them.
Yeah, all of the How It Should Have Ended.
Yeah, just watch all of them. All of them.
Even the ones that aren't Marvel are fantastic.
I have wasted many hours watching How It Should Have Ended.
That one and Honest Movie trailers.
Mm. But the How It Should Have Ended for Civil War, definitely, like, there were a lot of things that they addressed that I had issues with. And then things that I had completely overlooked, and I'm like, actually, yeah, now that you say that, that is kind of stupid. But
but because it's animated, it's funny instead of annoying. I really like the Hobbit ones, too.
Yes.
Especially because some of the cast members of The Hobbit started, like, retweeting it and quoting it. Awkward slide.
Another great YouTube video that I watched in the past week was by Comics Explained, Everything Wrong with Comics, All New, All Different Marvel. And if you're interested in Marvel comics, that is definitely one to go watch. And I will put the link in the comics. Also, Andy Migna emailed us, Lauren, as he has been for the Jessica Jones and Daredevil series. And what does he have to say about the episode today?
All right. So what he said is, if that's the same advertisement banner, then the Punisher has dragged Matt close to his loft. Yeah, that, you know, dragging him close to home, bad idea. Punisher's half-measured talk to Matt sounds like Mike's to Walter in Breaking Bad. I wonder if that's like a deliberate shout-out.
Oh, definitely.
First scene we see of Foggy with Claire together, plus a shout-out to Luke Cage!
Luke Cage.
The redemption conversation, my favorite scene in the season so far. It was amazing! Impressive choreography in the stairways. The x-ray of Frank Castle, so he can't feel any remorse like Robert Carlyle's character in The World Is Not Enough. I can't remember if I've seen
I have not.
The World Is Not Enough. All I remember about it is that Garbage did the theme song and it was great. Anyway, bottom line, great to see more about Frank Castle. 8 out of 10 cozy rooftop conversations.
Cozy. Because being chained up to a column is always cozy. Love the rating.
Don't Andy. Kink shame. Okay, some people, I'm not going to.
Okay. Love the ratings and can't wait to read off the next one. And he has already sent in his stuff for the next three, so we are good to go. All right, let's walk this one out. Join us next week as we discuss Daredevil Season 2, Episode 4, Penny and Dime with friend of the cast, Ferris. You can always find our live streams Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, as long as we don't have like major technology issues like happened this week, at www.geeks.live. We have a website, as Haley pointed out at the beginning of the episode, legendsofshield.com. We have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. You can find us on YouTube. And don't forget, we have forums on the Gunna Geek Network, forums.gunnageek.com. Just want to say thank you very much, Jay, for joining us this week. It was awesome having you back on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It was a blast. I always enjoy being here. Thank you for having me again.
We'll have to do it again sometime soon.
Yeah, hopefully not after I get off of a 12-hour shift. Yes.
We'll make arrangements to not have technology breaks that week.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much to all our listeners. Definitely everybody on Spreaker. We really appreciate that. Thank you very much to our chatters on Blab. Since we're on a different time, we've had some new chatters. Thank you very much, everybody that's contributed.
Thank you to everybody on Twitter who follows along when we live tweet, which is usually Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Central, and it will be again this week. And thank you for everybody who sends us things that they might find entertaining, who sends us news articles. We love you guys.
We do love you guys. And thank you to everyone that has participated in our little contest so far. Just a reminder that your time is running out quickly, especially if you're not listening to this live. You have until Wednesday, July 20th to get your entry in for our Marvel Cinematic Universe gender swap on the characters to be entered to win the awesome Women of Power crate. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, voicemail, email, anything that we'll have a record of to let us know what your entry is, and you'll be entered to win.
Absolutely. Looking forward to giving that away next time.
See, I keep thinking the other way, and I think, how great would it be to have Jeremy Renner play Black Widow?
Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Jay.
See you guys next time. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
All right, is everybody recording?
Yes.
I am now.
Oh, you're not on the right mic, Jay.
I kind of figured that was probably going to be the case.
So I think what you're going to have to do is back out, refresh your browser, and come back in and choose the right mic.
Yeah, it said like three different microphones, but it just says microphone 1, 2, or 3. And I'm like, I don't know which one's which.
Well, did you remember which one you chose?
Yeah.
Don't choose that one.
Wow. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Why are Pokemon servers down right now for me?
No!
Because there's too many people on them.
Could be. Did they just open it up to Canada?
I
want to
catch Pokemans. I taught my mom how to play Pokemon.
You did? Can you teach me?
Well, sort of. She's still very confused about it and keeps texting me, but I mean, she's trying.
All she has to do is choose Team Blue. That's the most important thing.
Haley, have fun unpacking.
Those can just be the three boxes that stay packed.
I miss the cat in the background. Did you take your cats with you, or are they back?
Yeah, they're okay. Here somewhere. Right. There's one on the floor there. I don't know where the other one is. Probably in a box. Not that one.
There's a cat behind me being a jerk.
I didn't them out.